Well, folks, good morning again. And there's one thing I failed to read a little bit earlier in the announcements. Sometimes I'm not as organized as I should be. But this is just a thank you note from Angela and I to the church. Dear church family, thank you for your generous pastor appreciation gift. I sincerely did not expect such a kind gesture. Your patience, your kindness, your love and support is such a blessing to me and to Angela. We love you all more than we can say, and with grateful hearts, so we say thank you very much. Love, Wade and Angela. I tried to say this when we had our conference. Y'all have made this experience for me such a wonderful thing. As you all know, I've done a good bit of supplying and been to quite a few churches. And all of the churches are warm and receptive, but none of them is like this church. And I've had other preachers say that too. Brother Aaron that was here earlier this year said what a special congregation you are. And I feel very fortunate to have the blessing and the privilege to try to be your pastor. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I'll try not to be so remiss and overlook things in the future. Now, folks, as we go to the worship part of our service this morning, I just want to make a comment. We read 2:26, I love to tell the story. We all have a story to tell. And as we go into the main part of our message this morning, David is telling a story, too, about God being a shepherd. And then we sang 4:11, Standing on the Promises. Our lives, David's life, all of our lives, we stand on the promise of God. And the 23rd Psalm is the same thing. The 23rd Psalm is about David's story that he's telling to the people of Israel. It's about his faith and trust in God. And so we should have the same. And as we go through this psalm, I want you to understand two things. It relates to all of us as God's people. But David wrote this to the people at that time, the congregation of Israel, all of the Israeli people. But it was written to them because they had such a greater, more familiar, more life experience of knowing what a shepherd was and all the details that were involved in being a shepherd. So some of this language is peculiar and directed towards somebody who has that basic understanding. And there's so much more that was required of a shepherd than what most of us understand in today's time because things have changed so much. But I have made this comment, now this will be the third Sunday in a row. There are people in certain parts of the world that live exactly like they did in David's time, shepherding the sheep. So I want to read the psalm again and then we'll move on in our worship this morning. But folks, let this sink in and try to think about it on a very, very personal way because it's the story that you will tell in some form or fashion to others if you're being obedient and sharing your faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it's such a beautiful, comforting psalm. And I don't know if it's a special to you. There may be some others that are more special. But for most people, this is the most popular psalm that's written. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, last Sunday, you know, we spent two Sundays on just the very first sentence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we're going to move on from that, but just so the highlight from last Sunday was David is saying, I shall not want. He didn't say, I shall not need. And you know, when we're in the proper mindset, When we are truly trying to worship God and trusting God, we don't want. Because I believe that when David makes this statement, he was saying, what more could I want? The Lord Almighty is my shepherd. David was a shepherd. The people were the shepherd. And they understood what that was required, responsibilities of the shepherd. So all those responsibilities, he's saying, the Lord has over me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I believe he's saying, I'm satisfied knowing that God's words and his promises never fail. Just like we sang, we stand upon those promises. What should I want? Because God's already promised such goodness to me. They never fail. They endure forever. He will lead me. And I trust where he's going to lead me, so I shall not want. I shall not want, meaning present. He didn't want prior and want future tense. It's all contained in that word. I shall not want. In a way, I feel that he's restating his thoughts and sentiments in Psalm 16, verse 11, where he said, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, that comes from the heart. That's when we're meditating in the presence of God. That's when we're worshiping him. There are pleasures evermore. And we're trusting that he will lead us in our life. Because that's what shepherds do. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 tells us, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, there's peace there. There's comfort there when we're trusting the Lord, when he's our shepherd, when he's leading us. And we know that he will look after us. I shall not want. And David is so confident of this, and I mentioned this before too, each sentence builds on the previous one. I shall not want. So now he's talking about future tense. What's coming next? Standing on those promises. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. Here again, David is bringing forth this imagery and this making the analogy that I'm a sheep of his pasture, and the shepherd is leading me in these two sentences because of what the terminology that he's using here. He will make me to lie down in green pastures. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, folks, we are the sheep of his pasture. Are we listening to his voice? Jesus said, My sheep know me. And make no mistake, the Lord knows you. You are the sheep of his pasture. And we need the faith, that confidence that David said that I shall not want. And the very next thing, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. You see, he's focusing now on something that embodies comfort and peace. And the benefits that comes when we trust God and we follow God. And those are vital words. When we trust God and follow God, he's going to make me to lie down in green pastures. So I want to think for a moment about trusting God. Think about the words in this sentence. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, David is saying God is in control. That's what a shepherd is. God is in control. And he's saying that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. You see, David's not out wandering around on his own, doing things according to his own will and desire. He's saying, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, and he makes me. The Lord is in control, and he makes me to do what? To lie down in green pastures. Proverbs 16:9 tells us, A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You see, the Lord is going to direct the steps of his children, the people that he loves. But it says the heart, doesn't it? A man's heart plans his way. Well, we know what David's heart, he trusted God and said, The Lord is my shepherd. You see, that's a conscious decision. That comes off of the faith that David had and the love that David had for the Lord. He trusted in God. And when he says this, the Lord is my shepherd, maybe you get something deeper or more expansive. But I glean from that, when the Lord is saying my shepherd, I sense happiness there. Because he's my shepherd. You don't get any higher than the Lord Almighty. The Lord God Almighty is my shepherd. There's confidence there because he is God. And David is following him. There's pride in that proclaiming that the Lord is my shepherd. Not all these false gods that the pagan societies around them worshipped and followed. The Lord is my shepherd. And folks, this is a proclamation. He's making a statement. Do you love to tell the story? Do you make this statement? Who is it that we follow? The Lord is my shepherd. And I believe in this proclamation there is complete trust, because he's going to lead me to green pastures. And that's the benefit of trusting God. There are benefits of trusting God. Now let me ask you, these next few proverbs I'm going to read to you in Psalms, they should stick out to you in your memory and in your hearts. How deeply do we trust the Lord? Do we follow him like David did? Proverbs 3 tells us, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, and we'll talk about this more in just a moment, but the Lord will make me to lie down in green pastures. Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. What a comfort that word, those words are to me. Have you thought about it? Do you trust that? Do you believe that with all your heart? You see, God is in control. David's already said that because he said, he makes me. God is in control, just like a shepherd is in control of the sheep. And David is saying, the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. So he is listening. He is following the Lord, because you don't get to lie down in green pastures without following God. It is the shepherd that leads the sheep to green pastures. And again, Jesus said, the sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So David is having to follow God to get to the green pastures. Now, there's a book written by an author named Philip Keller. Perhaps you know him or have read this book before. It's called A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Philip Keller was a shepherd. He lived the life, so he knew it intimately. He knew every aspect of what's involved to be a shepherd. And he knew others that were shepherds too. So he understood a lot of the imagery that is contained in the words that David chose here in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And one of the understandings that Philip Keller points out here is that sheep do not lie down easily, no matter where they are, even in green pastures. It's not easy for the sheep to be comfortable enough to lie down unless four conditions are met. And the very first one is because they are timid. They will not lie down if they are afraid. You know, sheep are a whole lot like people. How often are you afraid, folks? Brings me back to the question I asked a moment ago. Are we trusting God like David did? What makes us afraid in life? What proverb did we just read? Proverbs number 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, not knowing the future sometimes causes us to be afraid. But who is it that we trust is leading us? David said he's going to make me lie down in green pastures. He's my shepherd. He's the one who's leading me. You see, there's faith built on that statement. It's trusting a shepherd who is above him. The Lord Almighty is going to lead me. Do we have that trust? Folks, in my research, I have found this through multiple sources, that the two words, fear not, is written 365 times in the Bible. You know, that's kind of appropriate since there's 365 days in a year. Each day we're given, fear not. When we got up this morning, we didn't know what today held, did we? Thank God the shepherd, our good shepherd, led us to church. Nothing happened to us. We don't know what's going to happen between here and when we go home. But we are in the Lord's hand, and His eye is on us. Our shepherd leads us. Fear not. You see, when we trust God, yes, there are aspects and things in life that can cause us to be afraid. But when we stop and think, well, who it is that holds me and guides me? It's the Lord God Almighty. Like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And it helps to calm those fears. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And folks, the Israelites at that time, trying to go into the land of Canaan with all the armies that they were about to battle, had a whole lot more reasons to be afraid than what you and I do. But still, the truth is, the Lord was shepherding Joshua and the Israelites. The Lord was shepherding David, and the Lord is shepherding me and you. And when we trust Him and we follow Him, He will lead us. And take this to heart, what we are told in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So folks, we shouldn't let our thoughts run away about, well, what if this and what if that? And if everything could happen. No. We need to have faith and trust in the Lord. And have the sound mind. Use the sound mind that He gave us to calm unwarranted fears and anxieties about potentials that haven't even happened. So many times we have anxiety in our hearts over hypotheticals. Folks, we can't allow that to happen. We need to trust the Lord. Who is it that's leading us? Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Folks, when you sum all this up, to lie down like the sheep, if they're afraid, they're not going to lie down. We should have peace and calm in our hearts. Just taking these few passages that we read to heart. What more can I be afraid of? Can we not boldly say, the Lord is my helper? I will not fear. You see, folks, we ought to be able to lay down trusting God and have peace in our hearts. The sheep won't lie down when they're afraid, and people are the same. So, folks, if you struggle with fear on a constant basis, or if you know people that do, pray for them and pray for yourselves, because you need to deepen your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, because He is our good shepherd. And we need to follow the example that David is writing and telling us in this story, that the Lord is our shepherd, and I shall not want. I have no reason to be afraid. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. David has no fear, and he's not afraid because he trusted God. And we need to do the same. Now, I said there's four reasons that Philip Keller points out here about sheep not lying down. The second one is, and I find this one kind of funny and appropriate, because they are social animals and they will not lie down if there is friction amongst the sheep. How much like people can you be? More could you point out? People are the same way. And ladies, I'm not going to pick on you, but I'm going to say that that's more oftenly falls on women than it does on men. If there's friction amongst people, they're anxious. There's a lot of anxiety. And sheep won't lie down. Well, people get kind of bent out of shape when there's a lot of friction. The same is true for us. Constant strife and friction are bad for us. And that's not the way we are told to live our lives. We are told in 2 Timothy 2, verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. How much babbling goes on that causes us to be anxious? It's not good for us. And we don't need to listen to that type of thing to the point that it causes us to be so caught up and so filled with strife that we're afraid. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And there's a lot in that sentence, folks. A whole lot does depend on us. We don't have to respond to everything that causes us a little bit of angst, do we? We can control our tongue. When we have our hearts filled with love, it changes things. When we desire to live as God has told us to do, especially when we're in a group of people that are, you might say, not the best framed. Their thoughts aren't on God. You see, a lot depends on you how you're going to respond. And are you going to be an example or are you not? The example that you set can sometimes set the circumstances and affect the circumstances of whether there'll be peace or there won't be peace. If you look for confrontation, if you find it. But if you do your best to calm stormy waters, you will have a calming effect very often. And he says the same, as says this in just different language, but as much depends on you. So it does depend on us. And Paul is telling us, if possible, live peaceably with all men. We have to do our best. Solomon said a similar thing in Proverbs 3. And all this has to deal with friction amongst people. Let's read Psalm 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. What a prescription to live our life. Don't forget God's laws. Live by them. You have to trust in them. Don't forget them. They will add length to your life when you live by them, and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. You see, mercy and truth, that comes from the example that you're giving to other people. Do you give kindness sometimes when it's not warranted? You know, a kind word turns away wrath, Proverbs tells us. That's what mercy is all about. Being kind. Don't let the truth forsake you. Sometimes we are trying to live a godly life in a world surrounded by lies. But we have a story to tell, just like David did. And we need to be telling it with confidence and trusting in God. You see, sometimes we encounter those people for a reason. Because we are supposed to have a good effect on them, not the other way around. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. And you see, folks, when we live a life like that, when we do our best, he tells us, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. There's not as much friction when we live by God's word. Proverbs 16:7 tells us the following. When a man's way pleases the Lord, and I'm going to say living like we just read, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So you can lie down in green pastures because the strife is not there. We need to live like godly people. We don't need to be afraid, and we don't need to be stirring up trouble and responding to every little bit of thing that doesn't suit us just right. There should be no strife, especially amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, because we need to lie down in green pastures. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. What a comforting statement. But folks, I believe that is dedicated, as I just said, on living that life. Following God, living that life that we just read again in the psalm above it. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. So oftentimes we don't want to do that. You know, when we don't do that, then the anxiety fills our hearts. Because we know deep down when we're not living the way that we should. When we are living to please the world and not please God, we're going to have strife in our hearts. And we're going to be then a messenger of strife to stir up this friction that keeps us from lying down in green pastures. Keep God's commandments. And don't shy away from the truth of them. Share them with other people. That's the way that pleases God. And He will cause even His enemies to be at peace with Him. So those are the two things so far that prevent sheep from lying down. Sometimes, you know, if you drive around and you go by in the country, you'll see cows lying down. Sheep, not so much. Philip Keller, I've read a lot about this, and it makes me think about the times when I've driven past sheep. I don't think I've ever seen the sheep laying down. They're always standing up. But He's saying, He will make me lie down in green pastures. You see, there's future tense in that statement, isn't there? He will make me to lie down in green pastures. Keller goes on to say that the third thing, if flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. You know, people are that way too. We have these things that irritate us. And sometimes there's nothing we can do about it. What can a sheep do about the flies? What can a sheep do about parasites? He has to depend upon the shepherd. When these circumstances in life overcome us, we're not going to be very comfortable. Well, animals can be the same way. You ever seen a dog that's truly just eaten up with fleas? The poor thing can't be still. It's always rolling around trying to scratch. It's sad. Sheep are that way. People are that way, don't we? You see, we need somebody sometimes to help us. We have to go to the doctor from time to time, as bad as we hate to go. I don't like to go. That's the most horrible thing for me to do, go to the doctor. But sometimes you have to go because we need that help. I'm not going to say we have parasites, but we have our troubles, don't we? You see, David is saying that the shepherd will guide me. Philip Keller is explaining here, sheep won't lie down. So that's a problem right there. Think about it for just a moment. There's a problem keeping the sheep from lying down. And the fourth thing he says, finally, sheep are anxious about food or are hungry. They will not lie down. All these reasons keep the sheep from laying down. David knew this. He was aware of this. And he wrote it, knowing that other people would understand it too. Keller goes on to say that rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear. Think of that for just a moment. The only way these sheep are going to lie down is because the shepherd has taken control. See, David said, He makes me to lie down. So God is in control. The shepherd has taken care of the fear, of the friction, of the flies, and the famine. You see, those were all responsibilities that the shepherd had to take on as the role of being a shepherd. Even back then, they had ways to deal with parasites and with flies. The shepherd's duty and responsibility was to look for the green pastures because there was known ways of being able to see if it was not good ground for the sheep to be eating. The shepherd had to lead the sheep away from the grass when it got nibbled down too close so that the grass could come back. The shepherd had the responsibility to move them all around the countryside from hill to hill. And in moving them along that way, the shepherd had to take care of them for everything. Folks, are we so blinded sometimes we fail to realize that it is God who takes care of us and the things that we need? You see, the shepherd has to provide these things for the sheep to lie down. David knew all of this when he confidently wrote it. He was confident because he trusted God that the Lord is my shepherd, and He will make me to lie down in green pastures. And then he goes on to say, and He leads me besides the still waters. You ever thought about still waters for a moment? You know, some of the sheep were in pastures down in the lowlands. Some were up in more hilly area in the highlands. So there was lots of different types of water. Sometimes there wasn't much water, and the sheep would be anxious. But the sheep are anxious also about fast-moving water, because sheep do not swim very well. They're afraid of fast-moving water. They could have been in a drought-like condition, but then if they were led to water that was rushing, they wouldn't drink it. You know, that old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Sheep are the same way. You couldn't make the sheep drink if the water was moving fast. And the shepherd would know this. See, David's writing to these shepherds. All the conditions have to be just right for the sheep to lie down in green pastures. And David goes on to say, and he leads me beside what? Still waters. He's wanting to bring the sheep to an area of comfort and rest so that they're not so caught up with anxiety in their hearts that they're not trusting. Sheep will not drink if the water's moving too fast. They won't lie down if the conditions aren't just right. You know, everything has to be, in some ways, just right for the sheep, don't they? They're kind of a needy animal, a whole lot like people. You might describe them as Goldilocks. You know anybody in your life like that? If things aren't just right, they're always in a tizzy. They're always worried. They can't be quieted. They can't be comforted. They can't focus on whatever they may need to be doing because they're worried about something else. Who is your shepherd? Who's leading you? Do you trust God to lead you to those green pastures that aren't infected with flies? Do you trust God to lead you to the waters that you can drink from and not to imperil and danger you where you'll fall in and be swept away? You see, we are the sheep of this pasture, the Word tells us. So like David trusted the shepherd, like the sheep depend upon the shepherd to provide for them, to look after them for these conditions to be met. Where else are the sheep going to look? Jesus made the analogy, he had compassion upon the people because like a sheep with no shepherd, they are all scattered and gone astray. When sheep don't have the shepherd and they become panicked, they start rushing in every direction. But the presence of the shepherd calms them. And the presence of the shepherd leads them. And the good shepherd provides for them. And David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. You see, I'm confident that all of these conditions will be provided for me. And he's going to make me to lie down in green pastures where there's comfort, there's peace, and there's rest, and there's proper food. And I'm not going to worry about the other things. And he's going to lead me beside still waters because he cares for me. And he's not going to endanger me by leading me to dangerous places that are not for my benefit. The Lord is my shepherd. David Keller says these images are rich with a sense of comfort, of care, and rest we find in our relationship with God our Father because he knows our needs. And I agree with him. He's very accurate in that assessment. You see, he lived the shepherd's life. He is a firm believer and he knows the conditions that have to be met. He knows the responsibility of the shepherd. And folks, when we start thinking about how, just like sheep are dependent upon that shepherd, we're dependent upon our good shepherd, aren't we? You know, the world will try to deceive us and lead us astray and make us become like a sheep without a shepherd, where we don't trust like we should, where we let fear and anxiety dictate us to do things we shouldn't do, when we go astray because we're not trusting. Now let's turn to a word from the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we sang, we love to tell the story. That revolves around our trust in Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. Then we sang, standing on the promises. Don't we stand on the promises of Jesus? Of the Word of God that He's given us? Well, let's read what He says. Because Jesus is a good shepherd in His own words. And you can say that the Jesus as a good shepherd is leading us, just like David said that the Lord is my shepherd. Matthew 6:25-34. And these is a prescription for life to calm our fears, folks. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? If I stop right there and for just a moment. You see, we have no reason to be anxious about these things, because we have a good shepherd. Just like the sheep that need to lie down to find rest, that need that water for sustenance, the good shepherd will provide for these things. And then he goes on to say, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, as the shepherd knows what the sheep need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just like we read in Proverbs, keep his commandments. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and soul. You see, the Lord is our good shepherd. Are we going to worry and be anxious? Or are we going to lie down trusting that the Lord will provide for us and that he will lead us? You see, when we have that peace and comfort, we don't want, do we? When David wrote that, he was future looking into these next two scriptures and all the ones that will come after. He leads me. God is in control. He's going to take care of me. He's going to lead me to green pastures. And he's going to provide for me with those calm waters. The Lord is my shepherd. Folks, he is your shepherd too. And we need to trust, and we need to follow him. Are you? To repeat, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Follow the Lord and trust in him with all your heart and soul. May the Lord add his blessings is my prayer. And folks, we're about to stand up and sing hymn number 341. It says, I will arise and go to Jesus. If you have not, you need to ask yourself, why not? Are you following the Lord? Brother Mark.